Pastor Jeff, you know, we have asked folks to save the date for 3 weeks, nearly a month here now, and it's here.
It is.
This is the date we ask you all to save, August the 19th, and it's here. So won't you tell our family what is so special about today?
Yeah, today is special because it's Get Out of Church Early Day. One boo.
Got a boo over here.
One boo. All right. I thought you'd be a little more enthusiastic.
I told you, man. They don't get out of here early. You don't even watch your watches anymore, do you? That's kind of like the old boy said. He didn't even wear one today. When the preacher takes his watch off and puts it up there, and the little boy said, "What does that mean?" They said, "Nothing." Not a thing.
Yeah, we can't see that little one back there in the worship booth.
Oh, I can't see that good. Listen, this past June, I had the opportunity to attend the North American Christian Convention. And Pastor Jeff, I got to attend some of the most outstanding workshops I've ever attended at any convention in the past 40 years. One of the best that I've ever attended was led by Jeff Henderson. Jeff is now the lead pastor at the Gwinnett Church in Atlanta, Georgia. But before that, he spent 21 years in marketing, most recently from that with Chick-fil-A. This campaign about the cow that says, "Eat more chicken," that was one of his brain children. His workshop was called Creating a Church Unchurched People Love.
Yeah.
You've seen the DVD of that workshop.
It was good.
We brought that back. Mm-hmm. It made you stop and think about what kind of church God has called us to be. It was a complete game changer. We need to think about the kind of church we want to be a part of, the kind of church we want to raise our kids in, the kind of church we want to invite our friends and neighbors to, and the kind of church we want to be and that God wants us to be.
Yeah.
Now understand right off the bat, God has given us our marching orders in the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus says, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town." In verse 23, he said, "Go out to the roads and country lanes." Did you see a common word there?
Go.
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 We're supposed to go.
Yep.
He didn't say, "Build it and they'll come."
No.
That's a movie.
That's
a And when Jesus sent His church, us, out into the world to make disciples, I think He wanted the church to remember what He said to the Pharisees when they saw that He was eating with tax collectors and sinners. He said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." But here's the word again. Go and learn what this means. "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to the righteous," to call the righteous, "but sinners." God gave us a call to be a church the unchurched would love.
Amen.
He gave us the message that the unchurched would receive.
Yeah.
So we've got our marching orders.
We do have our marching orders. And you know, there's kind of four types of churches. Four types of churches that we could be, actually.
Yeah.
The first one is we could just be a church in the community. A church in the community. The vast majority of churches in this country are simply just geographically located in the city limits, but they make little or no impact whatsoever on their direct community. They have church services every Sunday. They have programs for their people. But there's just not much impact in their city. It just ends on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday evenings. They spend more time focusing on the members of their church and what goes on inside the four walls of their building, and spending little to no time reaching out to the community. A church in the community. It's funny because if you go to Matthew chapter 5 verses 14 through 16, Jesus instructs us to be more than simply in our community. It says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Charles Swindoll gives us some great advice.
I love this, Charles, when he states,
"When you live in darkness, you not only have no ray of light, you don't even know where home is. That is the way it is for the majority of the world. Some folks are born, raised, and died in cultures that have never seen their first flashlight of hope. Imagine it. When the truth of that hits me, I find myself a little impatient with Christians who do nothing but shine lights for themselves." Right? Jesus has lots of light. Too much light to be just hoarded. Jesus says to shine for the world. Shine your light into the darkness. That's where it is really needed. Spend less time in your own well-lighted little Christian world inside your four walls of your church, is what he's talking about there, and more time there in the darkness, out in the community. Don't just be in the community. What do you think, Pastor?
Bob Russell once said, you know, the best time to sell flashlights when it's dark.
When it's dark, yeah.
It's a dark world out there, folks, and we have the light. Am I right? Yeah. Pastor Jeff, we're not a large community.
Right.
By any means. But many of you may be surprised to learn that we have 13 churches in Mahomet.
Wow.
The Citizen, the second section of the Citizen, every week publishes all the churches in Mahomet. 13 of them in Mahomet.
I know.
And there are over 20 Christian churches just like this one within a 25-mile radius. We are in a church or in a community that has plenty of churches in it. But we're not called to be a church in the community.
That's right. Well, we don't, in other words, we don't want to get lost as just one of the many churches in our community.
That's right.
I believe, and Scripture tells us that we got to stand out. We need to be the type of church that stands out to your community, to our community. So you can be a church in your community, or number two, you could be a church against the community.
Yeah.
We don't want to be this either. Let's just throw that out there right now. Thankfully, these types of churches are becoming less and less prevalent, at least in the United States. This is the old church against society mentality, you know, church versus society. These people's mindset is that they are good and the people of the community are bad. They are right. These people think they are right and the people of their community are wrong. They're evil and they need to be punished.
Billy Sunday once said he believed God punishes sinners and preachers are here to help him.
Yeah.
And there are some churches that feel that way.
There is. And one that always stands out to me when I think about this is the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas.
Yeah.
They use hate speech against the LGBT community, Catholics, Orthodox, Jews, Christians, Muslims, U.S. soldiers and politicians. It's widely seen as a hate group to be in America, to be quite honest. They have picketed and protested at the funerals of veterans and celebrities and protested retail stores as well as even at Comic-Con.
Oh, goodness.
A bunch of crazy video gamers and comic people, and they're out there protesting them. This quote-unquote church definitely fits the description of a church against the community. You know what, Pastor? This makes me think. You just covered something like this in a sermon series recently.
We did. You'll remember we just finished a series on Jonah.
Yep.
That was kind of Jonah's mentality.
Yeah.
He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He felt like those people were evil and they needed to be punished. Mm-hmm. In fact, ran away, ran the other way. But God said, no, I want you in Nineveh. He looked down on that city with disdain. And you know, last week we said that most churches are known more for what they are against than what they're for.
Yeah.
Almost everyone knows that the church in general is against abortion, against gaming, against liquor by the drink, against same-sex marriage, against pornography, against drugs, against, against. But the community needs to know, what is the church for?
What are we for?
What are we for?
So we asked that question to ourselves. And
we did.
And then we thought, well, let's go out to the community. It was, what, about 2 months ago?
2 months ago.
And just ask a few, just a couple simple questions. And we went out, and we were on our way to IGA first, just hit the parking lot. But first, we saw a bunch of mothers and grandmothers out at Lake of the Woods in the playground area playing. We thought, well, this is a good place to do it.
Good opportunity.
And then we went on to IGA with their permission, of course,
permission.
And met some people entering the store. We asked them, had they heard of Muhammad Christian Church or been to the church? And if so, what they had heard, what they knew or had heard about MCC. I can tell you that we aren't seen as a church against the community,
that's
at least.
That's true. Yeah.
Which I was pretty sure of before we left, but it's still good to know.
Not that old church over there that's always showing up against things.
Yeah.
That's good.
Also, you should know that we would probably get similar answers to the questions that pastors about to talk to if we asked about any church in Muhammad,
not just MCC.
So, Pastor, what did we find out?
Just an overview here, okay? From the moms at Lake of the Woods with their children, we talked to one mother who had lived here 5 years, been here 5 years. She says she'd never been here, didn't even know where we were located. And we were right...
That way.
Right... here? Right across the street. Right across the street, and they didn't know where we were. And she said, never really heard anything about MCC. Talked to another lady that lived here for a year and a half. She came once when they first moved. They were church hunting. But then she said in one of their visits, they landed on a church that had a pastor they had been associated with in Nebraska.
Yep.
And so they already had ties there, and they started going there. But other than that, she had been here. She had had nothing bad to say about our church. Loved it. Friendly church, et cetera, et cetera. There were three moms and one grandmother sitting together over there. One of them had lived here 32 years. The others were 5 years, 2 years, and 29 years. One of them had been here for a wedding. One of them had been here for a funeral. A couple of them know people who go here. All of them knew we had a preschool. But they hadn't heard anything about the church.
No, but they did know we were on Tin Cup Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Oh, yeah, I know you are. You're over on Tin Cup Road. Sorta.
But we just left it at sorta. We didn't correct.
Yeah. But. Then we went over to IGA.
Yep.
Jim Jeffers, who gave us permission, we asked him. Now, his son and daughter-in-law and family attend here. What do you know about our church? Well, I saw your commercial on TV. That's it. What have you heard about us? Well, I saw your commercial.
Yeah. We did say Kaylee likes coming here.
Yeah, Kaylee likes coming here.
Daughter.
But then there was a lady who lived here 49 years. Mm-hmm. She visited for a children's program a few times. Mm-hmm. And she knew of the church because you're in...
She was one of my friend's moms. Yeah.
A lady that lived here 10 years, knew we were here, but had never been and hasn't heard a thing about the church. A lady that lived here 62 years, came to a wedding here, has heard that we're a friendly church, a good church, and she has neighbors who go there. We wanted so bad to say, well, why don't you come? But we stuck to the script. A young man in his late 20s said he grew up here in Muhammad, but then moved to Champaign. He's never been here and hasn't heard anything about us. And an older gentleman from Fusland, has seen our commercials, but he hasn't heard a word about us except the commercials.
The commercials, yeah. So the commercial's getting out there.
Thank you, Sandy, Dixie, Mike, for all those commercials.
Yeah.
They're getting out there.
Yeah.
So that's what we heard.
That's what we heard. So we weren't sure how to take all that. We knew we weren't against the community.
Yeah.
And we knew we were more than just in the community. The third type of church is a church of the community. You know, these churches are becoming more and more widespread as opposed to the against.
Yeah, they are.
And this type of church doesn't have animosity or apathy towards their community. They actually seek to imitate their community. They want to look like, feel like, and act like the community around them. At first glance, it seems okay. Seems all right. Because part of it is. But oftentimes, in their attempt to imitate and become relevant, some of these churches, not all of them, but some, become so much like the culture around them, they stop looking like people of God.
Yeah. I see churches like this more and more, Pastor Jeff. They even admit their number one goal is to be culturally relevant. Mm-hmm. Meaning, and let me say this, we've all heard the term about the church being seeker sensitive.
Yeah.
Seeker friendly. Meaning the church needs to be sensitive to the culture. The church needs to reach people, they think, by becoming or evolving, if you please, into something the lost people can relate to. Because there's a lot of unchurched people out there who are beginning to recognize that with all that this world has to offer, and boy, it has a lot to offer.
It does. Yeah.
But with all that this world has to offer, with all of their achievements and accomplishments and all these accumulated stuffs in their lives, there's still something missing. And they're seeking that something. And so churches have tried to become seeker sensitive by becoming like the seekers and the world that has surrounded them. But they're looking for something more, something deeper, something with more meaning, something with more purpose. But listen, the fact that they are seekers implies, doesn't it, that they are looking for something else?
Yes.
Not something like what already is there for them. They've got all this world has to offer. Mm-hmm. Some of them have accumulated more than they ever dreamed of. Mm-hmm. But they're seekers. What are they seeking? More of the same? They're seeking something else.
And that type of church is trying to reach them, but they really don't, is what it comes down to. The community type of church reminds me of a story I read. And this cracked me up, and I thought of this immediately. About a decade or so, a little more than that now ago, a mayor of Cleveland, Ohio came up with a brilliant...
Who was it?
A mayor of Cleveland, Ohio.
Mayor?
Mayor.
Mayor?
Mayor.
Is that like a female horse? Mayor? Mayor of Cleveland?
Mayor of Cleveland.
Mayor. For you that have come from down south, we make two syllables out of that word. It's mayor. The mayor of Cleveland.
Really?
But we make three syllables out of glory. It's glory. Okay, so we're talking about the mayor of Cleveland.
Yeah. Maury, is that where we were?
Yeah.
I'm totally lost.
She
lose
your thought now? Sorry about that.
No, this is how Monday mornings go at the church.
Our poor computer folks are back there going.
If any of you saw Facebook, we had the dog chasing its leash on the Facebook post on Monday. That's how it was on
that
Monday.
That was.
Anyway, about a decade ago, this leader of Cleveland, Ohio, came up with a brilliant idea to raise funds for her cash-strapped city. She offered citizens of the blue-collar bastion on Lake Erie a chance to sponsor. Now wait for it. A chance to sponsor a garbage can. A garbage can. On Main Street, Betty. The Betty Tilford garbage can. On the football field, the Chris Roberts garbage can.
Way to go, Chris.
Right outside our doors.
Pastor David.
The Jeff Dyson garbage can.
I get the back door.
Yeah, you get the back. The cans would be strategically placed around the city to receive trash, thereby cleaning up the streets of any unwanted litter. Good idea, right?
Sounds good.
Yeah. And the best part was, for the small donation, you and your family could have your name embossed on one of those cans. It could just... Woo! Man, they could even bring that to your celebration of life service. Put it right by the coffin right there.
Yeah. This guy cared about his city.
This guy cared about his city. That's right. Now, it would still be, don't get me wrong, they're not dressing it up. It's still a smelly garbage can. But your name is on it. Just donate and slap a sponsor sticker on it. Needless to say, the plan was not met with the success that that she thought it deserved. I think the mayor and a few other politicians, desperate for cheap advertising, actually sponsored a can or two. But the basic idea is a popular one in our church today. It's the same idea that are having many of our churches of the community today. Find an idea somewhere in the community that seems to work and just slap a God sticker on it. Everything will be just fine if we do that. That is when the churches take being of the community, I think, too far.
Pastor Jeff, I read an interesting blog the other day. Chelsin Vicari, and she's just an ordinary wife and blogger. You wouldn't know her as some famous actress or anything. She writes about a recent move to a new city. Now, how many of you have had that experience of moving to a new city and the pursuit for her and her husband to find a new church? They just left a town and a community with a church they love, they were involved in. And so when they moved, Kat, you understand that. They moved and trying to find another new church to get settled in. She called this blog the Dreaded Church Search. Because, as she put it, we can all empathize with the gut feeling of dread before walking through the unfamiliar sanctuary doors into the unknown. One church they visited was a mega non-denominational church, and it advertised itself as seeker-friendly. We just talked about that. This church was so seeker-friendly, Jeff, it even offered an alternative cafe service. Now, we're not going to do this, so don't have that.
Coffee drinkers were getting excited.
Here's what she wrote, yeah. For those worshipers who weren't comfortable sitting in the sanctuary during the service, this church offered a seeker-sensitive cafe service as an alternative to tradition. It was actually printed in their bulletin. And yes, they had bulletins.
Not comfortable sitting in the sanctuary.
Yeah. She goes on, she says, apparently, actually participating in the service is too traditional. As the bulletin described this service, it said, the cafe service is for those who want to warm up with a mountain mocha espresso-based drink or try one of our refreshing ice-blended drinks. The cafe has three big screens and a cozy fireplace for an alternative way to enjoy today's message. That was in the bulletin to describe that, sir. Mm-hmm. She asked herself, then why the snazzy sanctuary and all the parking lots? Said they could have just gone to Starbucks, brought their big screen TV, and avoided the mortgage and the parking attendants and the offering plate.
Yeah, yeah.
See, there comes a point where the pastors and the church leadership and we as a church need to be able to speak into the culture. But we also need to recognize that sometimes the gospel is confrontational in nature.
It is.
There is a friendly grace, but there is a gospel that confronts sin. And while we're serving in our community, we have to stand up. We have to stand up with power and clarity and authority and wisdom and say, yeah, this is all neat and cool, but not that. That's sin. God says it's sin. I don't care what the culture says. We don't stand for it. It's wrong.
Right.
And while that's going on, what do you think, Pastor Jeff?
I totally agree. I think, but again, and the thing is, the churches can take that too far, and they become against the community. So you have to reach people to show them the gospel,
yeah,
to teach them the gospel, to show them the truth of the gospel. Not hide. We should never hide from the truth.
No.
Otherwise, that's just a different way we're covering
that's
up
the
our lamp.
Of being in the water, but not letting the water in the ship.
Yeah.
And believe me, though, Pastor Jeff, that power, that authority, when a church emits that, the wisdom and maturity, that does not turn seekers off.
No, it doesn't.
In fact, I've got a Gallup survey here. June of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a year old yet.
Yep.
And here's what it says. 76%.
Wow.
Three out of four people say that sermons that talk or that teach you more about Scripture and help you connect Scripture to your own life, 76% say that's what brought them to the church.
Wow. Amen.
76%.
Wow.
Here's the other one. 68%, almost 7 out of 10, say that spiritual programs for their children and teenagers is a major factor.
Mm-hmm.
They want their children to have more.
Mm-hmm.
Than just what this community offers. 61% says a lot of community outreach and volunteer opportunities is what keeps them involved in the church. 44%, less than half, say the same for a good choir, a praise band, or other Christian music. Now, Pastor Jeff, let me tell you, I think MCC pretty much is on target with all that.
Mm-hmm.
We're a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, and a people-loving church. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Would you agree with that? We're involved in our community in ways that many people here don't even know about. Now, some people think this is funny, but it's kind of cool. We like this,
thing
here. We're known as the Peanut Butter Church. And that's something to be known for?
Yeah, well, and at Little Galilee, we're known as the Pudding Church.
Yeah, we're the Pudding Church for Galilee.
Little Galilee, yeah.
And you know, if you live in this community, though, and don't have anything to eat on the weekends, they're glad there's a Peanut Butter Church in town.
Mm-hmm.
We help put together backpacks for the homeless. We collect for Helping Hands, and it takes a village. We have workers who help serve there. We help with Mercy's Refuge. Our community always looks forward to our VBS.
Yeah, yep.
Barbie and I were out for breakfast yesterday morning and at one of our local restaurants, and Senator Rose, Chapin Rose, came in. He and his son were on the way to play soccer. And we, of course, said, how's everything going and stuff? And he said, these kids really like VBS. And then he got to talking about, they always like your VBS.
Yeah.
He said, that's how you reach our community.
You know, that's funny because we started it back at the schools this week.
Yeah.
And I'm at lunch, and these kids are just walking up. Mr. Jeff, Pastor Jeff, see you at church on Sunday. Yeah, yeah. And this teacher walks up, because I don't know the first and second grade teachers very well because I've only worked with kindergartners up till now at Middletown. And she goes, oh, you're Mr. Jeff. You're the rock star. All I've been hearing about is Mr. Jeff, Pastor Jeff.
You're the rock star.
So
rock it on.
We are getting known for something anyway.
Yeah. And you know, people look forward to the Living Flag in the fall. We collect coats and gloves for those without in the winter. Mm-hmm. And oh, so much more that folks are unaware of that our people are involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do they become church programs? Well, no, not church programs.
Church
programs.
Yeah, amen.
There are many opportunities. And speaking of that, I just got an email.
Oh, so you have an opportunity?
Got an email.
All right.
This weekend, coming up, is the Mahomet Music Festival.
Yeah, you did good.
The Sangamon River Music Festival. And several years ago, the churches got together and we convinced the festival committee to allow us to have time on the big stage to bring in Christian music.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all may remember the first year we had apologetics.
You got it.
And we had them in worship that next Sunday.
Yeah.
That was a great day, wasn't it?
Good coup, wasn't it?
It's a great day. Great day. But we've had Christian music every year since then because the churches and other sponsors are willing to get behind it. Well, that's coming this weekend. And here's a chance for some of you to volunteer this weekend. They need, we have a merchandise area where the Christian artists are like everybody else, sells their CDs and things like that. But we need to set that tent up on Friday afternoon, load it up Saturday, load them out and off the stage, and then tear down the merchandise and everything on Sunday afternoon after church. After church. Now, Chris knows that. Chris was on Facebook and he said, well, Sunday starts our football season.
Yeah.
First game Sunday.
Yeah.
And I said, what did I tell you? He said, after church. Now, Chris is here. You're going to see him leave early, but he's at church first. Okay. But there's another way that you can help and get involved in our community like that. Just a lot of things going on. Now, Pastor Jeff, remember, you said earlier that at first, being a church of the community seems right.
Right.
Because in part, it is.
Parts
of that is right.
Yeah.
And we are to be of the community.
Sure,
in
we are.
That. In the community and stuff. But the danger of trying to be so culturally relevant is what you said, that if we're not careful, we lose our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And soon we get sucked into the culture so deep you can't tell the difference between you and the people of the culture around you.
Right.
And as we live in this foreign land, as the Bible puts it, we live in this land that is not our home. We are not to stop being God's people.
Yeah, MCC, we need to be a relevant church, but not simply culturally relevant.
Yeah, big difference.
We don't need to worry about having a cafe in our church. Now, a Mountain Dew room with big screens, we'd be all right with that, right, kids? But we don't need to worry about that. Or whether the pastors wear skinny jeans and V-necks. Next Sunday, you want to step out on that?
Boy, that's a picture I can't get out of my mind now.
But MCC needs to have relevance. We need to make change in our community and show people of Muhammad they matter, and they need to be experiencing our caring firsthand. We will truly be relevant when our hearts align with God's heart.
Yeah. Now, Pastor Jeff, here's the thing. I want you all to understand this. Get this, because this is where we're going to start going toward wrapping it up in a minute. Here's the thing. God has sent us, Muhammad Christian Church, to Muhammad, Illinois, and the surrounding area. That's our ministry. Mm-hmm. We end in form every week with you saying, and come see what God has in store for you and the communities we serve. God has called us and sent us to Muhammad, Illinois, and the surrounding areas.
Yeah.
Now, I'm glad MCC is in Muhammad.
So am I.
This is a great community, isn't it? We have great schools, we have great parks, we have great sports, we have great restaurants, and getting better all the time. We have good churches. It's a good place to raise your family. It's a good place to have a business. I'm glad MCC is in Muhammad. But, now get this, I want Muhammad to be glad MCC is in Muhammad.
Yeah, amen.
I don't want to walk around the community and people say, I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything good or bad. I want this community, I want Muhammad and the areas around us to know MCC is here. I want them to think of MCC as a great addition to all the other things that make this a great community. And to do that, we're going to have to take the church, MCC, to the next level. We don't want to be a church in the community or of the community, certainly not against the community.
No.
So what do we want to be?
We want to be a church for the community.
For the community. Now explain the difference there.
Well, God doesn't want His people to be just in the community, making no impact, or be against the community, obviously, and only making an appearance to complain, or even He doesn't even want us to be of the community. He wants us to be different than our culture. God is calling us to be a church for the community. I mean, Jesus did most of His work out in the community and not in the temple. Jesus took His ministry out to the people. Where they worked, where they walked, where they lived, and where they ate. He was for the community.
Through Jeremiah, God said, seek the welfare of the city where I sent you. For it is in its welfare you'll find your welfare. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a partnership to me.
Sure does.
Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. God's calling us to be a church for Muhammad and the surrounding communities. For the name of Jesus, for the glory of God, and for the sake of the gospel. We want to be that kind of church. Mm-hmm. A church for Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And after sharing with the elders, after sharing with our ministry team leaders, we're going to be that kind of church. A church for Muhammad on purpose. Now, Pastor Jeff, that all sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
Good pep talk. For Muhammad.
Let's go
get him. How do we do that? How do we become, on purpose, a church for Muhammad and the communities we serve?
Well, number one thing is we have to build common ground. We've got to build common ground. We have to walk with people and not at them. We have to walk with them and not at them. We need to be out in our community, out in Muhammad or the community where you live, because not everybody, of course, lives here in Muhammad that comes to church here. If you've seen Informed in the last month or so, you've seen us out recording in front of the Village Building.
Yeah.
We even got yelled out through the window there at the Village Building. We've been out at the golf course, out at Lake of the Woods. And the other golfers there were pleasant, let us finish our thing, you know.
Yeah.
When we are talking about our community and any issues we see or problems we run across, we need to work and try to solve the problem and not just point them out. We need to jump in and get our hands dirty, so to speak. I know you don't like to with your perfectly manicured hands, but we need to create conversation starters. This is a good one. We need to create conversation starters. We need to be all over social media talking about how great our communities are, and all the great things we can do in it and around Muhammad. We need to comment, like, and share cool things about Muhammad businesses, schools, or people in the community. Pastor, we're going to be changing our social media presence, aren't we?
Believe so.
Yeah.
You've already set up for us a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
account called For Muhammad.
For Muhammad.
And our web page is linked with that,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Twitter,
mm-hmm.
when you Twitters, we have a hashtag For Muhammad.
Yeah, yeah. And if they want to follow us, they can just put in For Muhammad. It comes
For
up
Muhammad.
With our Twitter
and
account.
Instagram,
we're up and running, yeah.
We've got all of this. So use those as you use your social media.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't know what those things are, don't worry about it. The younger people do.
and it's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to go longer, but this story is a good one. Jeff told a story in his DVD about a young man that came to his church, an atheist. He'd come to his church.
Yeah.
And they gave him a coffee mug at the Welcome Center, one of the bigger coffee mugs. And the next day, he'd been drinking coffee. I took a picture of it and put it on. It was actually Twitter, I think. It might have been Instagram. I can't remember which. And so Jeff and his staff got together on Monday morning and says, we're going to blow up his Twitter. We're going to blow up. We're going to go retweet it. We're going to hashtag. And so they took that and they had tons, just, I don't know, over 100 different retweets and tweets of this guy's little picture with the new coffee mug. The final tweet in the whole list was from the guy again. He put, I have never met a more friendly or welcoming church. All they did is blow up his Twitter handle and give him a coffee mug. But he was it 5 or 6 years now he's been coming?
Yes.
He's accepted Christ. He's now serving in the church itself. It's all because they met him in such a way that it affected his life. You know, social media was important to him, but they reached out to him in his language, so to speak, and it started a whole conversation that later led him to Christ. And now he's serving in the church. That's why it's important we're for the community.
Pastor Jeff, we just took a group to Branson.
Yes, you did.
The showstopper thing was Samson.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to believe this. I showed it to several folks that went with us. That is at Sight and Sound Theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Most incredible productions you'll ever see in Branson. How many of you have seen that? Because a lot of you seen it, didn't even go with us. Was that fabulous or what? Excellent. Well, there were some friends of ours. He used to be my youth minister in Texas while he was still in school. And he and his wife, that's been how many years ago? They were out in Branson the same week we were,
mm-hmm.
but we not seeing the same shows
right.
at the same time. And she had put on her Facebook thing, "Here we're here going to see Samson," and I texted or whatever responded back to her that we're headed that way. I believe it's tomorrow afternoon. Sight and Sound Theaters, not them. Sight and Sound Theaters picked up on that, and look what they said. You see that, right?
We are ready for you, David.
And the group who was with me said, "No, you're not."
But they thought they were.
We're ready for you. And then I'd like to say that, you know, that's all that happened. But look, there's another one right up here. The thing said, after we were through, we redid whatever we do. You don't tweet on Facebook. What do you do? Comment. We just commented on Facebook.
Yeah,
it was great. It's one of the best shows we'd ever seen. Sight and Sound responded again and said,
We are thankful for your visit, David.
Sight and Sound was thankful I was there.
Yeah.
How many of you got one of those? My point is, I know what that young man is saying. I wasn't even talking to Sight and Sound.
Right.
Barbie got the tickets, not me. I just said to somebody, we're going to be there.
Yeah.
And they picked up on that.
Yeah.
We're ready for you.
Yeah.
We're glad you had a good visit.
And that's conversation starter.
That's conversation.
Who's going to Branson, what's the first place you're going to mention?
Let's go to Sight and Sound and see Samson.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Besides conversation starters, we can sponsor a community event. We can do a 5K. We could do a coat drive. We could be a drop-off or something. Whatever we wanted to do. The whole point of this Building Common Ground is we must talk less about our church and more about our community.
Yeah.
And then finally, we need to create messaging ideas like taking pictures when we are in Muhammad and put them on social media. Wear T-shirts. I think that I forgot to put that in the slides.
Oh,
and I did. I forgot. This
okay.
says For Muhammad, the T-shirts we're talking about. We'll put them on Facebook during Focus.
We'll put them on Facebook and show you on Focus.
Yep. And
you know, Pastor Jeff, Nick DiFilippo and his family does that every Friday.
Yep.
They have Friday coffee at the coffee cafe, and they have a picture there.
Yeah.
Now, you just need to add to that somewhere, hashtag For Muhammad. You and I went down there and did a study session to get out of the office one day.
We did.
Took a picture of us.
At the cafe.
It looked so much better than the DeFilippo's did. Oh. We do, no. But when we do that again, we'll put For Muhammad.
For Muhammad, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, when you're at Los and...
Yeah, I'm there a couple times a week.
Yeah. Anyway, we can wear the T-shirts, and then we can do things like pay it backwards. Why don't you tell them what that's like?
Oh, yeah, you all have been a part of this sometime, maybe a recipient of. I know Mike Waddles has because he did it to me one day. We got ready to go to the golf scramble when it was over in Gibson City, and we both went through Arby's. I pulled up to the window to pay, and it had already been paid for. I said, well, who did that? He said, well, the car in front of me. So that just makes you feel so good you want to do what? Pay for the one behind you. Now, so you go through a drive-in sometime, just pull up there and just ask them real quick. You know, they've got that guy's order too. How much is their order? If it's not outrageous, you know, if they didn't buy for the whole family reunion or something, you pay for yours and then pay for theirs too. Mm-hmm. And then just say to the clerk, tell them that that came from a group that's For Muhammad.
For Muhammad, that's all
for
we
Muhammad.
Have to say.
For Muhammad, that's all you need to say.
Our pastor made us.
Yeah. For Muhammad.
For Muhammad.
And that will just, it just goes on. I'd be curious to know, Brother Mike, how far behind me that went, but you started that ball rolling.
Yeah.
And it's just things like that
things
you
like
can
that.
Do.
And then, of course, the other way, build common ground, then we have to serve our community.
We have to
have to create opportunities in and around our community and do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Things like the Faith in Action Day we did a few years ago, we need to continue to do those. Food Drop Day for our whole community, maybe we're just... They can't get to a Saturday to drop off food at Helping Hands. So we say, hey, this Thursday evening, we'll be out at the front of our parking lot. Just throw the cans, hit a kid. We'll put it in the box for you. But you can drop off your food. Maybe we go as a church and pick an area of Muhammad just to clean up and pick up trash. Whatever it is, we need to just create service opportunities on purpose.
Yeah. On purpose.
On purpose. That's really the two main areas. If we're building common ground service, the cool thing out of that are going to be opportunities to show the love of Jesus and to share the gospel.
Yeah. Well, when we were taping out in front of the village offices there, we didn't do it for the offices.
Nope.
We did it because it said Village of Muhammad
right on
the brick wall. But while we were doing that, Jeannie opened her window and she did what we want this to do.
Mm-hmm.
She asked, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Because we're for Muhammad.
Yeah.
So, Pastor Jeff, what would you say is our takeaway? Let's wrap this up. What's our takeaway this morning?
Well, Dr. Henry Cloud once said, for people to grow, they must discover that God is for them and not against them.
Amen.
That's why our church must step up and be for Muhammad. And there are just two takeaways, really, for me that I want to mention. One being that it's going to take us all. It's going to take every one of us for this mindset shift to work. For us to take it to the next level, as you put it, and be the church body that Pastor David and I and the elders and leaders firmly believe God wants us to be. This is who we are. This is who He wants us to be. We all have to be ready to love on the people of Muhammad and the surrounding communities in a way that allows the light of Jesus, not the name of MCC, but the light of Jesus to shine through, that allows Jesus to stand out.
Yeah.
The second takeaway would be by building common ground and serving out Muhammad, the communities around us, they will see how we are for them and how generous we are. And they will ask, why? Why do you do this? Why do we do this? And we need to be ready to answer because God is love and He has called us to share His story through our story. That's okay.
You're supposed to say God bless you.
Yeah. Everybody knows God blessed you.
I've been holding that in for 30 minutes.
So we got to show that God is love,
yeah,
and that His story, and that we're going to share His story through our story.
So listen, here's our takeaway. Let Muhammad and the communities that we serve know we are for them because God is for them.
Yeah.
God is not against you. God is for you. And so are we. Pastor Jeff, that starts right here, right now, with each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
You may be here this morning still in that mindset of God is punishing you. Things aren't going well in your life and you deserve it. It's your fault. God will not bless you because of your sin. Your life may seem to be terrible and you feel maybe you have felt that way for a long time. God's punishing you. He's paying you back for all the things you've messed up in your life. and again, feeling that you deserve all the bad things that are happening to you. Hear me clearly. Hear this church clearly this morning. God is for you, not against you. He sent His one and only Son to die for your sins, not to punish you for them.
Amen.
If there was any punishment or any chastisement for your sin, Isaiah said long ago what we sang about this morning, we all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on Him, on His Son, the iniquity of us all. God is not against you, and neither is this church.
No.
We're for you, because God is for you. So let go, let God. Because once you let God, He'll send you where He needs you to be.
Yeah.
And wherever you go, let Him know, man, we're for you, because God is for you.
Amen. Amen.
You have a decision you need to make this morning. We want you to come. We want you to be able to release that and say, you know what? I want this God that is for me. And I want a church that will help me understand what it is to have a group of people for you and to point me in a direction in our community where I can share with them. We're for you. God is for you.
Amen.
Have a word of prayer for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and this chance to get together in this community where You have placed us. We just ask that You take the message today that and the direction in which You have sent us to the world, that we take it out to Muhammad, to our local communities, that we let them know that we are for them because Yes. You are for them, that we let Your Son shine through us and be the shining light in the community. That's not about Muhammad Christian Church. It's not about our name. It's not about our initials. It's about being shining lights for You, being shining lights to them, and let them see the love and hear the message that You have for them. We thank You. We ask You to help us remember this and to go out to our mission field today and this week and carry the message that God is for you, we are for you, and together we'll make a difference for Christ in our community. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.